You are listening to the Punk News Podcast. You are not being the Punk News Podcast. You are listening to the Punk News Podcast. And here we are yet again, Johnny G and Tricky Ricky on our biannual holiday, or our biannual tradition, rather. We're talking about Record Store Day and record collecting in general. Tricky Ricky, what's happening? How are you doing?
Dude, I'm doing great. I'm excited because I kind of put this year, I sort of worked more on getting more like, you know, mid-range grails. So I'm excited to go through those. I'm excited to talk about Record Store Day, Black Friday, and just good to be back, you know, and chilling out with the Punk News fam.
Well, always a pleasure to have Ricky on the podcast. Always.
Thank you.
Anyways, so I don't know, Ricky, you and I had the same conversation like three or four Record Store Days in a row, and we're going to have it again very briefly this year. Record Store Day, Black Friday, 2023. Did you go? And if you did not go, because I'm pretty sure you didn't go, did you do anything to substitute, i.e. go to the record store like the next week or buy stuff online? Did you go to Record Store Day 2023? And what did you think of the lineup of records this year? And was it good or a bad? Was it good or a bad pull this year from Record Store Day?
Record Store Day for me, I mean, I'm very hit or miss when it comes to Black Friday Record Store Day, because sometimes the list will have some stuff that I want. This year, nothing. And actually, it's funny.
There was really like nothing that you like even were
nothing.
Interested in.
Nothing. Really? And so that was initially what happened. Then I actually just looked through it about an hour ago, and one did kind of raise my eyebrows a little bit. But I haven't listened to the album, so I just I don't feel like I missed out. There's that repress of X's album, Ain't Love Grand, that I guess came with the 7-inch as well. I need to listen to the album first to see if I really want that. In terms of buying, what, you're not a fan?
I'm not a huge fan of X in general, honestly. I think, okay. I mean, people generally feel they're the best Danger House band and one of the best LA bands. To me, they're one of the most boring. And I know you're somewhat of a fan, Ricky. But for Ain't Love Grand, I mean, I think you can pick that record up used for like $8 still. You
yeah.
know what I mean? I would spend $30 on that one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or more. So, I mean, I'm not going to buy a list. I'm not going to buy the album new, especially go out for Record Store Day if I haven't even heard it yet. So, I just stayed away. And also, like, that's kind of the weird era of X, like the mid 80s is almost when they go borderline country in some parts at some points. And, I love Los Angeles. I think that's a fantastic, I mean, it's a classic. And I thought Alphabet Land, when that came out a few years ago, I thought was fantastic too. But I mean, it's like everything in between is either very okay or not great. So I think I want to listen to this and see what it's all about. I've gotten a lot of records in the meantime though, like that we can go through later. How was your Black Friday Record Store Day?
Well, actually, quite like my last Record Store Day proper, I actually wasn't able to get out to the record store until about 7 or 8 o'clock at night because I had something else going on that I couldn't. I had to be an adult, Ricky. Sometimes you got to be an adult, even though you want to go out record shopping all the time and buying all the records. And sometimes you just got to be an adult and say, no, I'm not going to go buy records this instant, but I'll be back. Did go to, I mean, usually for Record Store Day, I go to, the first thing I usually do is go to Electric Avenue, get the standard Record Store Day records, and then I shoot on down to Jupiter Records, and I shoot on down to Sit and Spin Records and Creep Records, and hit each of them just as they open right on down the line. But I wasn't able to do that this time. So instead, I went to the Rock Shop in King of Prussia, which is a record store in the mall, in the King of Prussia Mall. If people know King of Prussia Mall, I think it's the second biggest mall in America, with the Mall of America being the biggest. And you would think, a record store in a mall, that must be a pretty crappy record store. But actually, it's a pretty good record store. They get a lot of cool used stuff in. Prices are hit or miss. Sometimes it's super expensive. Sometimes it's super cheap. They get a lot of new stuff in, a lot of CDs. So it's a pretty good shop. So I swung over there at like 7 or 8 o'clock at night just to see what they would have. And Ricky, it's kind of telling of Record Store Day, and that I actually only wanted 4 items, really, maybe 5. And they had 3, no problem whatsoever. They had I got the Lee Scratch Perry and Keith Richards 12-inch single. I think they're calling it an EP, but it's really a single. I got the Matt Cameron and the Melvins 12-inch EP, which is pretty cool. And I got the Joan Jett EP, which I wish I had looked online, Ricky. I paid $27 for that. By the end of the day, it was going for about $8 online. So that's
That
one
was
thing you always got.
fast.
I know. The Matt Cameron thing was going crazy. I actually almost spent $70 for the Matt Cameron thing because it is a limited. It wasn't one of these record store day first releases things. They were like, this is all we're going to do. And I almost spent $70. I'm like, you know what, man? Like, I play this game a lot and it usually blows up in my face. I'm gonna ride the risk, man. And of course, I got down to the Rock Shop, King of Prussia, and they had two of them for $27 each. So that was pretty cool. I snatched that one up. I'm seeing how much they're going for right now online as we talk. Right now they are $35 online. So it just goes to show the vast majority of record stores, unless you're one of these Grateful Dead guys, and in which case, ew. If you're one of these Grateful Dead guys, I mean, anymore, pretty much anything you want is going to rise up and then crash back down within a week or less. So,
For
just
sure.
don't waste your money, you know what I mean? I did want the X Cops. The X Cops were a spin-off of GWAR in the mid-90s. GWAR essentially has like five spin-off bands, and they're all basically GWAR. There's the X Cops, there's Death Piggy, there's the Dave Brocky Experience, and there's even a couple other bands. At any rate, so they were doing one of these record store day first releases on record store day. The thing with these record store day first things is that sometimes they say it's a record store day first thing, and so you say, oh, I'll get it later, but then the actual thing never comes out, you know. And
Yeah.
the only difference between the X Cops one and the normal one is the X Cops one was red, and the normal one is going to be black if it comes out. So I don't really care about pressing colors too much. I mean, I care a little bit, but not that much. So I was going to wait, but I waited online. Instead of spending $70, it dropped down to actually for a hot minute, it dropped down to 25, but it shot back up to 30, and I snapped it up with 30. So I mean, I got everything I wanted with ease. So it just goes to show, and it's kind of good in that you really don't have to go crazy over record store day anymore. And it's actually almost, it's up to 37 now, but you don't have to go crazy over this record store day stuff. Pretty much the vast majority of stuff you can get one way or another. I was actually kind of happy that record store day wasn't that insane. I mean, because I was thinking back to when I first started doing record store day back in 2007, when I did first record store day, I would only buy like two or three things. Anymore, I'm buying 10, 15, 20 things, Ricky, and the bill is $400,
Oof.
$350. It's like, oof. It was kind of cool just to spend like $50. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
I got some cool stuff, and hurrah. So I would say the week was relatively weak this time around. A lot of people thought it was weak, but on the other hand, the stuff, in a way, that doesn't really matter because the stuff that I got, I was pretty psyched on, and it's pretty rad. The Matt Cameron thing with the Melvins is cool. It's Melvins doing kind of modern classic rock, if you will. The Lee Scratch Perry, the Lee Scratch Perry thing is actually kind of annoying because what it is it's two tracks from Lee Scratch Perry's album where that Keith Richards contributed to, and it's the two normal tracks and then two dub cuts. The annoying thing, Ricky, is on a Jamaican release, what you do is you put the normal track up first, then the dub cut after the normal track. So it becomes, instead of like a 4 minute song, it's one huge 8 minute song that has the vocal version, then it flows into the dub version. They did this in a really odd way. The A side is the two normal versions, and the B side is the two dub versions of the two different songs, which gives it like a really off-kilter feeling. It's like, no, you're supposed to put the dub one after the vocal track. It just kind of suggests that the person doing it didn't really know what they were doing.
Yeah.
The other thing that I got, oh, the Joan Jett EP. The Joan Jett EP is kind of cool, actually. It's six new tracks. They sound good. And the flip side is the same songs but performed live. On one hand, it's kind of cool. I mean, that's kind of an ideal record store day release in that it's like not a full-on album, but it's just kind of something fun. But on the other hand, like Joan Jett, for some reason, is so stingy on giving an actual. I don't think she's ever done a true live album. She's put out a fair amount of live tracks, but she's never done a full-on live album. And it's like, Joan, you've got these things recorded. Why not just put out a live album that everyone wants? Because she's pretty good live. At any rate, that was pretty cool.
You
And
know,
then in the way, so.
I bet at some point she'll probably do like a box set, and that'll include like a live album. I could see that happening.
I think you're probably right. It'll be annoying as hell that I have to buy six albums that I already have for $40
Yeah.
each just to get
Yeah.
one live album, which I hate. You know, it's like,
Yeah.
oh my, you know, Joe Strummer did, J the Joe Strummer thing does that all the time, and it's so annoying.
Yeah.
At any rate, and the X Cops thing is, this is one of those things, Ricky, where the album actually isn't very good, but I still want the record because I've got every War vinyl there is. You know what I mean? So it's like, I gotta keep it going, you know?
Yeah.
So it's one of these things where you buy, you're like, yeah, it's all right. You know, so anyways, so yeah, so that was my record today. You know, it's kind of a low intensity kind of thing, and I'm fine with that. And I don't know, it seems like record day isn't as much of a novelty as it was, which might be kind of good to keep it going, because if it's this huge mania thing every time, maybe people kind of get sick of it. But if it goes from like super intense to just kind of mid key, maybe that's the key to the keep it going. And I will say, Ricky, is I do love the concept of record store day, and that, like, this Lee Scratch Perry thing, this Matt Cameron thing with the Melvins, X Cop for sure. No regular record label is gonna be like, yes, we're gonna put out some obscure guar band that no one really cares about, or no one's gonna be like, yes, we're gonna put out a 12-inch single of Lee Scratch Perry and Keith Richards with two songs. But for record store day, it kind of makes sense. So I do love that record store day does spark these interesting things, as opposed to just, here's another version of Piano Man by Billy Joel. Here's another
Right.
version of, I don't know, some punk record that everyone has a thousand times over. You know, Green Day's Dookie, you know, although that would sell like crazy, honestly. At any rate,
Yes.
so I thought it wasn't super strong this time around, but I thought that what I was interested in was kind of cool. So Ricky, what do you do for, do you do anything? Do you shop online? Do you do anything, or did you totally blow it off? Maniac.
What day was it again?
It was the day after every, the same day every year, Ricky, day after Thanksgiving.
So November. Let's see. I'm just looking
29, I
through
think. Was
the
it November
29th. So
29?
I, let's see, November 29th. So let's see what came in that day. I'm looking through my Discogs, collection because I keep track of it like a madman now.
Do you get stuff every day from Discogs?
No. I just keep track of my collection on their collection, tab.
And that, Ricky, why are you doing that? Two things I didn't pick up just because it's like, I'm tired of just blowing a ton of cash on record day for stuff I already have. Two interesting things did come out. The Digital Underground reissue of, not Sex Pack, the third album, what's it called? It's got a real goofy name. Give me a second here, Ricky. I'll look it up. Body Hat Syndrome. I think it's kind of a cheap reissue, and I mean, it like looks like it's fancy, and it's got like thick cardboard and thick records and stuff, but I think the actual sound quality is not that good. But they reissued that, which is kind of cool. And it's particularly cool because the picture sleeve was never issued in USA. I believe the picture sleeve was only ever issued in Italy, just Italy, which I have a version of, Ricky. So they reissued the picture sleeve in America, which is kind of cool. I don't think shock. Wow, Ricky, what do you think the $50 Digital Underground Body Hat Syndrome record is down to now?
$15.
15 bucks. You got it right on the head. I might pick one up
Really?
for, yeah, man, I might just pick one up
Totally
for 15
guessed.
bucks just to have it. Also, Schooly D reissued his first record, which is kind of cool. I think he reissued that himself, which is kind of cool. Schooly D is arguably the original gangster rapper. He's got an album just called Schooly D, which is super raw, super low, lo-fi, and just a really cool hip hop early mid, you know, mid 80s record, which is kind of cool. So I didn't get either of those because I didn't feel like spending a ton of cash, but they're out there, Ricky. Yeah.
So real quick, so I just found something that I did that did come in I think that that day. I'm of the opinion, and I think there's good evidence behind what my claim. Australia is killing it right now. Like the last few years, Australia bands have just been killing it. And Amel and the Sniffers, the Chats, Clowns, Private Function, Coffin. I mean, Beerwolf. I mean, there are some amazing. Even the new Frenzelrom album is amazing. So, one thing,
ACDC.
ACD, they're still going.
Men at Work.
Men at Work. What's the band that says I see the
Is it
I see?
Midnight Oil or whatever?
No, I see red. They anyway. So I actually. So
Oh, do you think you mean the scientists?
no.
Oh.
There's a band called I See Red. They became Crowded House.
Why didn't I didn't even know Crowded House was Australian.
Yeah.
Oh, Split Ends. Split
Split
Ends.
Ends. Yeah, Split Ends.
I didn't
Okay.
know Split Ends became Crowded House. Is Split
I
Ends
think
good, Ricky? Is that been any good at all?
that one song is really good. I can't tell you anything else. But in terms of what I got around record store, I think on record store day, Coffin, The first album, which is there, it's called Children of Finland Finding in Norway. Awesome punk band in from Australia. I've been trying to get their self-titled forever. Well, at least most of this year. And but the shipping from Australia is the same price as the record.
Oof.
So I'm just like, all right, I guess I'll just wait. I'll never get this, whatever. I'm not gonna do this. So, but then Green Noise Records on Instagram posted that they got a bunch of a huge like shipment of a repress of the album. Because their newest album, Australia Stops, came out. And I guess they were trying to get the prior record out in the state in the United States and North America. And so I jumped on it, and it was a good price, way less than I would have gotten it for if I had bought it straight from Australia. And it's this cool purple marble pressing. I know it's not the first pressing, but that's just how it goes sometimes. This band rocks. They're kind of on a little bit. They're a little bit. They can go a little on the blues side, but Australia Stops is awesome. The self-titled is amazing. It's already a few years old. That's I think that did come on Record Store Day Black Friday, I think. So, I can add that one to the scoreboard for me.
Ricky, I mean, what band are you checking out right now?
Right now, I am loving the new Clowns album, Endless. There's a band that I think I'm gonna play a song from this band called I contributed to that feature that we did on Punk News.
Oh, cool new bands to check out.
Bruise Control, that album Useless for Nothing, and UK band, amazing. Somebody listening to just going hang on 1 second. I mean, obviously the new Dwarves album. This band Beerwolf that some people were talking about in Navel Gazing is phenomenal. They're so good. Clowns Endless. The Under Attack album by Mess is fantastic. John, you'll appreciate this, I'm sure. That Cops EP by Fucked Up is one of my favorites of the year.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? It's really
It's great. And
good.
it's funny because when I was on the podcast a lot more, like I'd be like, yeah, I like this band, but like I don't love the albums, you know? But I gotta tell you, I love their 7 inches, and this thing just freaking rocks.
That is the thing with effed up is I agree that honestly, ever since like David Comes Alive, for me the albums have been kind of boring, kind of too college rocky, whereas the singles, EPs, and 12 inches have been amazing. The Year of the Horse record was mind-blowingly good. The Oberon record was super good. The Cops 7-inch single has been really
It's
cool.
so good.
I mean
And
that.
that
Oh, go ahead, Ricky.
oh and then also I mean the Gel album Only Constant is like when I go to the gym, it's like a staple for my heavier days, because it's just so dark and just gets you and also heavy. But man, and then I don't know. The new Painted Black album is very good too. Famine. That's sort of like the new stuff, but I gotta tell you, I've been jamming Neighborhood Brats too. I think they're severely underrated.
That band is basically over, right?
No, they started playing some local shows in
Oh,
SoCal and
really?
Orange County. Yeah. I don't know
Have
if they're
you?
record I don't know if they're recording anything, but I know like they did a show or two in Long Beach recently.
Did they do a thing like we're putting out our last album or something, or like they're going to be
No,
doing that? What was the deal with that?
there was something going on with the bassist getting harassed or something like that. They had to fall off a tour about a
That's
year or two
right.
ago.
That's weird.
And yeah,
Oh, I
and
remember. That's right. The bassist. That's I'm gonna so basically Ricky, did they admit to the kind of tattoo that the bassist had or they didn't? Do you remember?
don't remember.
That was
And
they were
I don't want to
backpacking.
get it wrong because I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
So
I'm gonna Google it real quick. So basically, if I recall this, and I'm almost sure I do, I'm gonna Google it, Punk News is there was this weird thing with Neighborhood Brats where the and I'm gonna check it, but where the bassist had a not cool tattoo. And I can't remember if they said what kind it was or wasn't, because I don't want to get a suit for defamation, Ricky. They had
yeah,
a
and I
not
like
cool.
the and also I like this band. I'd like them to not hate me. That'd be nice too.
Yeah. So, oh, here we go. Neighborhood Brats drop off Paris tour due to doxing of bass player. So the bass player got doxed, and so they dropped off the tour. And the reason they got doxed was the bass player had a not cool tattoo, except for the fact is he said, "Yes, I did have a not cool tattoo, and I was in a not cool headspace then, but I got it removed or I got it covered up or something, and I don't, believe in this tattoo anymore." And he got it when he was like 17 or something. You know what I mean?
And
So it was.
also this is
Go ahead.
just for just so everyone knows, this at least the Punk News article was this was me posted February 25th 2022.
So not that long. It feels like a lot longer than that, doesn't it?
I
But it wasn't
know.
that long ago. So, anyways, yeah, it looks like they didn't mention the kind of tattoo that he had, but I think you could do the mental work and figure it out. You know what I mean? Oh, here we go. Yeah, well, I think they didn't say. At any rate, he basically said it's not a cool tattoo, and I got to remove it, or I'm gonna get it covered up, or something. Like he wasn't like my tattoo was cool. He said he hates, So I don't. I just thought that was like really lame. It's like the guy, I think Ricky, pitch me this before you. Do you get a free pass for your actions before you're 18 or even 21 if you say that was not a cool thing that I did? Do you get a free pass aside from like molestation or aside from physical acts, non-physical acts? Do you get a
I
free
mean,
pass?
as I think it, as long as, I mean, when I remember that post came out, I'm like, I mean, I believe him. I think I even met their bassist once, and 'cause he would fill in for other bands around here too. And I believed him. I mean, I don't think he was, I mean, the fact that they had to drop off the tour kind of shows like, okay, this is clearly something serious. They meant it. He meant whatever, what he said in the post. So, and also have you heard the band's lyrics?
Right.
This is not exactly a band that that messes with social causes or anything like that. They don't try and be edgy that way. They're much
Well,
more
no,
edgy.
I think I do mess with social causes, but to the opposite side
That's
of
what I
the
mean.
tattoo.
Yeah, that's what I
And
mean.
also,
So
I will say we're being vague here. You could probably figure it out is I believe at least one or two members, like founding members, would hypothetically be against that. The tattoo would speak ill of the other members, and the fact that they're cool with it suggests that the tattoo is in the past, right? Am I correct about that, Ricky?
yeah, I mean, so
Yeah.
I and again, I love this band, and I it sucked that this happened, but again, I think but back to my main point, they are severely underrated. Confines of Life was a fantastic album. I think that came out in 2021.
Ricky, you
Like,
dodged the question. Does someone get a free pass
oh.
for non-physical actions that they did before they were 18, if they said that was not cool for me?
No, I originally said, like, listen,
Oh, fair enough.
I believed his apology or his explanation. Like, people do stupid things when you're in your teens. Like, it really it's not like black and white. There's sort of a gray area, and he everything seemed to be copacetic after that. So I mean, if they felt like they were in danger after he got doxxed, then yeah, like don't go. That's a whole different, like, doxing's really serious. That's a really
That's
serious
not cool.
thing.
I mean, that's like not cool in like almost any scenario. Like that is not cool,
Not at all. Like,
aside from like a child molester or something. Like, that's not cool, man. Like
it's
if someone
cr
says something not cool, like even if someone said something that was like really not cool, which I would be against, I still want them to be doxxed. That's such a deadly precipice to cross over. You know what I mean?
yeah. So anyway, I don't know how we got. So anyway, yeah, listen to Neighborhood Brats. They're great. Where should we go from here, John?
Play a song and we'll come back and we'll talk about records that we've picked up. And I will talk about visiting. I think I talked about this on the podcast. Probably I'm going to tell it again because Ricky will enjoy this. Me visiting Wax Trax Las Vegas, which is not Wax Trax Denver. Ricky, play a tune. We'll be right back.
Okay, so one of the albums I picked up this year was Useless for Something by Bruise Control. Awesome, awesome, awesome band. The album came out this year. So I'm gonna play the song Taxman from this album. Again, that is Taxman from the album Bruise Control from the album Useless I Useless for Something by Bruise Control. Here it is.
The next time I'm coming.
with Taxman, originally by the Beatles. No, I'm just kidding you. It was not originally by the Beatles.
You
Ricky, what do you think of the Beatles' Taxman?
know, I actually kind of been scrolling through this stuff. I think it's very, I think it's I enjoyed it. I like all of their stuff. I like the more upbeat stuff. The kind of the more like later, they clearly took LSD phase is like not, I don't love it, but I think it's fine. Isn't that Rubber Soul?
You know, I think it's a George Harrison. No, Revolver looks like it's
Oh,
George Harrison's
Revolver.
track.
Okay. Yeah, it is.
Anyways, Ricky, I'll be brief about this. So I was out in Las Vegas for the Doors record release show with DFL opening, maybe 4 weeks ago now, and also I saw David Copperfield and it was friggin' awesome. Ricky, you ever see David Copperfield?
I have not.
Ricky, you should bundle up the family and fly out to Vegas and see David Copperfield. It is amazing. It is amazing. Ricky, what do you
Okay.
think front seats ticket to David Copperfield cost? Front row seats, David Copperfield.
A grand.
$100. Pretty
No
reasonable.
way.
Yeah, man, it's pretty reasonable. It's pretty
What?
freaking awesome.
That's
And plus, I
insane.
mean, in Vegas, you can stay at like a 5-star hotel for basically free because they want you to gamble. And I don't really gamble. So I went on that deal.
There
At
you
any
go.
rate, I went to Wax Trax Las Vegas, which is totally unrelated to Wax Trax Denver, the label and record store. So, Ricky, I walk in. And on my right, the first thing I see is Sam Hain, Unholy Passion, original press. I see every Metallica records. I'm not even a huge Metallica guy. I see every Metallica record signed, right? And I'm like, wow. And I'm looking, and there's a guy, and the store is absolutely packed. It is the most packed record store I've ever seen. It's three stories, and not only is every shelf actually totally crammed with records, Ricky, each aisle has a person-sized stack of records in front of it. So each aisle is only half an aisle because there's just like records just like stacked on the floor, you see. And I'm like, wow, he's got posters on the ceilings. The stairs are a personal injury attorney's dream because he's got all these like memorabilia, like dolls and stuff, like sitting on the stairs. So the stairs is really only one third of the stairs because everything else has like something sitting on it. And it'd be so easy to make one misstep and, you know, get a lot of free money, Ricky. At any rate, so I walk in, I'm like, wow. So I'm going through it, Ricky. I'm like flipping through, I'm like, wow, I can't believe stuff. You know, there's a Danzig 2. I'm like, wow. Promo press Danzig 2. You know, I see. I think I saw like a Philippines press of like Rolling Stones' Sticky Fingers, crazy records. And the guy says, slow down there. Where are you from? I'm like, oh God. You know, there's dude behind the counter. This dude's, I don't know, 75, maybe 80, maybe a rough 65. I don't know. He's pretty old. Not, you
Yeah.
know. And so. Like he's like asking me where I'm from. What am I doing? I'm like, oh my God, I don't really want to have a conversation. I mean, I'm not opposed to being friendly, but it's like a real slow going conversation, you know? And he's like, well, we do things a little different here. And then he goes through like all the categories he had. You know, most records will have like six or seven genres. He had like 30 to 40. He had like all these old genres they don't even use anymore, like female pop vocalists and stuff, where they don't even
Yeah.
have that genre anymore. But he's got world music. He's got hip hop. He's got reggae. He's got classic rock. He's got jazz, funk, soul, house, anything you can think of, Ricky. But even like old stuff, like, you know, like bluegrass, polka, you know, just like every genre you can imagine, you know, even old ones from the 20s and 30s, you know, field
Where was
recordings
this,
even.
by the way? Was it on the old strip or the new strip?
No, neither. Kind of in the, you know, Las Vegas is pretty spread out, just
Yeah.
somewhere about 20 minutes away from the old strip.
Okay.
So I say, well, and I noticed that none of the records have any prices. So I say, well, how much for the Sam Hain Unholy Passion? And he goes, well, why don't you pick out four or five records and we'll price them for you? And that's how we do things here. I'm like, oh, all right. So I grab a Sam Hain Unholy Passion. I grab a Smith's 10-inch 1993 press rank. I grab, I'm trying to think what else. I grab, I think, a Rolling Stones Tattoo U as a test. I grab Smith's Queen Is Dead, and I think one of the record, and I hand him to him. So I'm like, yeah, so like, what do you want for those records? He's like, well, we got to look them up. And I'm
Oh
thinking, he's
my
got to look up a
God.
Rolling Stones Tattoo U, you know? So I see a Thin Lizzy Jailbreak, right? Like, if you, Ricky, if you have a record store, you should know what you want for Thin Lizzy Jailbreak. Are you cheap? $10. Normal? 20. Expensive? 30. Like, there's no like mysterious, like super rare version of Thin Lizzy Jailbreak that's worth $1,000. You know what I mean? They're all worth about the same. So I said, well, what do you want for that? The Thin Lizzy Jailbreak. He's like, well, we gotta look it up. So I'm like, oh my God. So I go to the it's not the new arrival section, it's like the I guess not filed section. Ricky, he's got Suburban Lawns. He's got Black Flag Damage with the sticker on it. He's got the first press, the first Bad Religion album. And it's not just punk; it's jazz and soul. And you know, he's got Psychic TV, a God Star, which I'm like, wow. I'm like, I really wanted to buy that 12 inch. And so I'm like, wow. Like he's got like just crazy stuff. And like I said, not just punk, jazz, funk, soul, whatever, rock, you know. And so after about 10 minutes, I say to him, "So where are we at?" And he's like, "Well, we're still looking them up. We've only done two so far." I'm like, "Oh my God," you know. So I go upstairs. Ricky upstairs is ultra crammed. He's got every Judas Priest record times three. He's got 20 versions of Beatles Sgt. Pepper, you know, maybe more. Literally, he's got five copies of every Journey record, and right next to that, he's got five original press Nirvana Neverminds. Right, he's
Holy
got five
crap.
original press Cramps Greatest Hits. Any Ricky, it is any record you can think of, you know, 1995 or before. He's got five of them original press. You
Here's what
know,
I don't understand, just real quick, just
yeah.
interject. If he's looking up how much they want for it, does he know how much they originally paid for it for these records?
Great question. I don't know, to tell you the truth. I don't know.
How do they
Good
know they're
question.
making any money?
That's a great question, Ricky. That's an excellent question. I guess you could argue, and I don't know, you could argue that he treats it like gold. Like if you buy gold and it goes down in value, it doesn't really matter what you bought it for. You know what I mean? It's are you willing to accept X dollars for it? You know what I mean?
Imagine Record Store Day at this place.
But then even then you have to write off your losses. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
So like,
I don't
you
get
know.
this. I still don't get this. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're right. You're right. Maybe he's got what he paid for, like behind the counter stuff. You know what I mean? But I will point out that I didn't see any sticker whatsoever on any record. Like sometimes records will put like identification numbers on records so they can track what they, you know. But I didn't see any of that. So anyway, Ricky, I'm up there for about 15 minutes. I come back down. We're almost done. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm not pulling anything off the shelf because I don't want to waste anybody's time here. You know what I mean? So literally after about 35 minutes. Like they're just finishing up. I'm like, all right, what do you want for the records? And he's like, well, we got to write it all down on a piece of paper. I'm like, oh my God, like this is not going to work out well, man. So he writes it all down on a piece of paper. And Ricky, what do you think he wanted for Smith's 1990? Oh, and he says to me, so what we do is we see what it costs online and then we knock off 15%. I'm like, oh, great. You know? And so, Ricky, what do you think he wanted for Smith's rank 1993 10 inch version?
150 bucks.
He said, "This goes online for 130, but I'll sell it to you for 100." And I kind of got the vibe when I sort of knew what the record was worth. So while I was upset, I looked to see what it was worth. $40 record, like all day long, $40. You know,
What?
and I'm like, you know what, man? I don't want to waste your time. What do you want for the Sam Hain record? You know, Ricky, what do you think you want for Sam Hain on Holy Passion?
Oh, Sam Hain records go for a lot. And I mean, I'm not like the big, I'm not a huge Sam Hain fan, but I know that at least. I'm 200 bucks.
Higher.
Four?
Higher.
700?
600, Ricky.
Yeah.
600. I'm like, man,
Well, I
I
mean,
didn't.
I'm not like completely surprised because those original Sam Hain and Misfits records are crazy expensive.
Yeah, Ricky, but I can buy it online right now for $300 if I want it.
Oh, well, that's different.
So I'm like, I didn't mean to be snippy, but I was so annoyed that he made me wait like 40 minutes. I'm like, man, I didn't like say F you or anything, but I was like, man, I kind of like, you know, clicked my tongue. I'm like, psh, yeah, I did that, you know, I'm like, psh, and I like left. I'm like, I was so annoyed and frustrated. It's like, it's easy to have the best record collection in the world, Ricky, as a store, if you don't sell any records. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like,
Holy crap.
I don't know how. I mean, and I actually went to another record store, and the guy's like, "Where you been so far?" I was like, "Oh, I went to Wax Track." He's like, "How'd that go?" And I'm like, "How do you think it went?" And basically, like the word is like the guy owns the building, and well, I think he just gets like suckers that'll spend like $70 on an Iron Maiden record that really should be like 40 or more. You know what I mean? And I think he actually doesn't make that much money, and he might be a little bit of a hoarder because he owns the building. So maybe he makes, you know, a few hundred a week, and that covers his property taxes or whatever. You know what I mean? So like, he's
Yeah.
not even making money. It's like he's just hanging out, you know. So it was rough, Ricky. It was pretty rough. So
I mean, listen,
Wax Tracks Las Vegas, Ricky, simultaneously the best record store in the United States and the absolute worst record store in the United States at once.
it's funny, like, I mean, I obviously, like, we have our we have our usual records that like record stores that we go to that we like. I go to Amoeba a couple times a year.
Because Amoeba rules, man. I'm
I mean,
surprised you only go a couple times a year.
you know, I just don't get out to Hollywood that much. But we also, but like, there are other record stores. Like, there's one near me I refuse to go to because it's not it's that it's a bad store itself. It's that the people are just weird,
What
and
store,
the
Ricky? Name names, Ricky.
no. I'll tell you
Name names,
afterwards.
Ricky.
I
Don't
li
tell
I
me now,
don't
Ricky.
I'm not gonna
Name the
dox
name.
myself. No, no,
We're gonna
no,
get
no.
doxxed. All right,
I said I live near it. I'll tell you afterwards. But like,
is it Record Safari? Because I like Record Safari.
I've never been. I but no,
The
it's not
store,
Record
the
Safari.
store.
No, it's
Is it going
but like records.
underground?
My point. No, my point is that
Is it
record store people
High
can be weird.
Fidelity? Have you been to High Fidelity Records out there, Ricky?
No, I've been to. I mean, I've been to Gimme Gimme, CD Trader. I've been to Freak Beat. I've been the last books. Is it the last bookstore in
Yeah,
downtown
last
LA?
bookstore.
They have a little record section there. But I
Decent,
need.
not great, but you can get some cool stuff once in a while there.
I got a Chubby Checker record there.
Wow, a Chubby Checker record.
So
Wow,
I was thrilled with that. Are you kidding? It was
Ricky,
great.
I'll mail you as many Chubby Checker records. How many do you want, Ricky? I will mail you as many as you want. Out here,
Nah.
there, you can't give them away, Ricky. I mean, he's from around
Really?
here, but I mean,
Okay.
Chubby. Honestly, Ricky, I'm surprised you wanted a Chubby. I mean, I like Chubby Checker. I'm surprised you wanted a Chubby Checker record. Are
I
you a fan
don't.
of the twist?
That song was, I'm like, this is actually good. And I'd never heard of him before, and so I got it there. But that was a long time. That was a long time ago, like
Ricky,
easily ten
Chubby
years ago.
Checker lives about 7 minutes from me. What do you think of that?
Get my record signed.
All right, I will. Also,
I
Ricky, do you know how Chubby Checker got his name?
don't.
He just stole the name of Fats Domino and inverted it.
Oh, you're kidding! That's
I'm
funny.
dead serious. His name is literally just Fats Domino Chubby Checker.
Oh,
I'm not even
funny,
kidding you.
funny. Good for him.
I like Chubby. Chubby's cool. So anyway, Ricky, get any cool records lately?
We just want to do three each right now.
Yeah, we'll do three and we'll go from there.
So, let's see. So I have been doing it. I've had this mini mission, where I'm trying to get all like color pressings, one color pressing each of all the Green Day albums from like 1039 to American Idiot. And that is actually harder than it sounds. I recently I'm still I have one left. It's the Kerplunk Record Store Day reissue that is it's talk about like this is like the opposite of what we were talking about with Record Store Day releases. This thing has maintained its value like crazy. But I did get the first pressing of Shenanigans, the rarities comp, that was only pressed in Germany once in no, it was pressed for Hot Topic later, but I have a rule, like I don't want Hot Topic versions of anything and like the big box store versions of stuff. But I did get the 2002 first press blue variant of Shenanigans, and that was a really, really good find. That was cool.
Ricky, where do you stand on Target editions? Because Target has some exclusive records, including
No.
exclusive No Doubt records. I
Nope.
get them, man.
I don't do Target. I don't do Guitar Center. I don't do Hot Topic. I don't do Urban Outfitters. I don't do any. I don't want any of that. I want like legit. I not like legit, but I want non-corporate pressing stuff. I really just don't. It just irks me.
What if it was the only place you could get it, Ricky? Would you do it then?
So that actually happened to me with the record. And I did not. And I had the chance to pre-order it. I didn't. I just let it go.
What record?
As if it matters between you and me now, but it was a repress of, it was like a red repress of Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge by My Chemical Romance. And I just said, because that record, if you go through like all the pressings on Discogs, that goes for a big, like pretty big money too. And I just said, I can't do this. So I know like, and this is another like poppy emo one too, but like Riot by Paramore came, they were, Urban Outfitters was doing a repress of it on orange vinyl. I didn't get it, and a year or two later they did Was it Fueled by Ramen did those silver pressings of all the 25-year anniversary celebration variants for their label, and I got that instead. Like it was fine. So that's so yeah. Back so Green Day, yeah, I did get that. I got Fat Records has been doing a lot more bundle variants lately, and I don't do it a whole lot unless it's a band I just love. I did that with Endless for Clowns. It came with a t-shirt, which is cool. Just it's just an easy work t-shirt or whatever, workout t-shirt. And it came out half black, half yellow with like green and white splatter. Just absolute chef's kiss on that one. And the album rules. I reviewed it for Punk World Views a while back. And then like I said, I've been trying to focus on Grails a little bit too this year. So I got a first pressing of my favorite Flatliners album, Cavalcade, on the original yellow pressing, original yellow variant. And it was that's one I've been eyeing for, my gosh, I mean, a few years. So I finally pulled the trigger on that and got a good deal on it. Yeah, I'd say those are my three. How about you, John?
Well, Ricky, did you order Mean Gene's new record?
I did. I did. It sounded good. I'm
Did you
excited.
order the headband?
I did not.
I wanted to, but shipping, like, because I guess they could do media mail. I wanted the headband because it was like $7 more, which is a lot for a headband, even. But I love dopey stuff like that.
Yeah.
But shipping went from like $7 to like $26, like literally, because I guess they couldn't do media.
Whoa.
I'm like, man, I'll just get the record and the CD. So, anyways, I'm psyched for that record. It sounds cool. I'm just sad that Funky Punks in Space wasn't like the biggest record ever. Ricky, you didn't really like that record too much, right?
What are you talking about? I have one of the 50 splatter pressings. I love
Oh,
I
okay.
that made my end of the year list. I liked
Oh,
it.
okay. Why was that record like absolutely massive? I love that record. I think that's like the best Mean Gene's record ever. Why was that record absolutely huge? I mean, it's
Well,
not Mean Gene's, it's Christian, but you know what I'm saying.
it was, I don't know. Maybe it just, it may have been a li I mean, and I love what they do, but it may have just been a little too weird in the weird direction, because it takes an odd direction on a first listen. You're just like, where's this going at some
Well,
point?
that's why I love it. I love how it's Ramones core punk mixed with 80s music. I think it's the epitome of everything Mean Gene's.
It was
I
very
think
good.
I think the cover's cool, but I think the cover could have been cooler, honestly. And I think maybe that might have affected a little bit. But also I think if it was a Mean Gene's record, it would have been bigger, to tell you the truth. And I'm surprised they didn't make it a Mean Gene's record. But I guess either Mean Gene's is a band, so they wouldn't just put out like one member stuff as Mean Gene's, or maybe Christian loved it so much that he didn't want to give it up to the band. You know what I mean? But I love it.
I might be wrong, but didn't he record this all himself like during COVID?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so okay, so like maybe I don't know if the other guys weren't involved, maybe he just wouldn't be like, listen, I'll take this one. But I mean, I hope they play those songs live,
I
that
don't
would be
think they will.
cool.
I think. I even asked him about like doing some solo show. I mean, not I certainly would have booked him, but I asked him, will you be doing solo shows for that? And he's like, I hadn't even thought of that. It's like, you hadn't even thought of that. I guess it was a fun project, man. And I guess it's frustrating that like, well, could have been, but listen, that's the name of art. Anyway, some cool records that I've got recently. Ricky, this one's real interesting. Ricky, you know NWA Straight Outta Compton, of course, right?
Yes.
Ricky, did you know that there's a censored version of Straight Outta Compton?
Oh, I mean, I'm not surprised because, I mean, what was that like? That came out, what, 80 something?
88. But did you
Yeah.
know, Ricky, that not only is it a censored version, that like where there are bad words, they re-recorded the entire track. So it's got different raps on it, and it actually even has different songs than the normal version. It doesn't have F the Police, of course. And it's actually got a different track listing. My favorite part of that album is Dope Man. Of course, Dope Man. I mean, Dope e even Dope Man is kind of a Johnny Cash type track where in the end the Dope Man, gets what's coming to him. But on the censored version of Dope Man, halfway through, Eazy-E starts rapping about why he was as the Dope Man. He raps about why he shouldn't have been the Dope Man, and he's sorry that he was the Dope Man, which is so like not NWA, you know what I mean?
Well, that's cool that they at least add, like if you're that's cool that they added other stuff to it, even though it's the censored version.
Honestly, it's a very interesting. I definitely would say it's better than the original, but it's
No.
certainly a very interesting version, and also now, well, actually, in the 90s when hip hop had like every other, well, now when in the 90s when radio hip hop, every other word was the F word, they would just like leave it blank. So like it was like brutal to listen to it because like every other word would be blank, blank, Back in the 80s, they actually would just re-record the entire track. So you get this whole weird alternate version. So there's NWA Straight Outta Compton. I mean, there's a bunch of them probably. There's NWA Straight Outta Compton. But there's also Ice Cube has an EP where like five tracks from his first album are different recordings. The other one is, and I didn't buy this when I had the chance. I really wish I did. Scarface, Mr. Scarface is back with the entire album is re-recorded with new raps. Which is kind of interesting, and they're usually clunkier and not as good as the real version, but it's still kind of a really interesting piece of history, Another cool thing I got is Ricky. I'm not a huge third. Actually, I'm going to do a little bit more than three, Ricky, so you can come back and add some more in.
Sure.
I'm not a huge Third Man guy. I like Third Man a lot. Well, I mean, actually, no, I don't know why I'm saying that. I like Third Man a lot. I'm just not interested in a lot of the stuff they put out. They put
Yeah.
out like White Stripes, which I don't really care about,
Yeah.
although they put out Carole King. I'm not anti-Carole King, but I don't need a Carole King record. But they also put out some really neat stuff like Sleep and Johnny Cash. The recent Third Man Vault, which I've probably subscribed and have unsubscribed to the Third Man Vault probably five times now, is the Syd Barrett box set, which includes both Syd Barrett albums and the Outtakes Rarities album Opal. All in one handsome box. I over the past year or so, I've really been into Pink Floyd, especially, I mean, early Pink Floyd. Not Rod Ricky, I don't know if you were talking about Roger Waters or not, man. What a nosedive, man. What a nosedive, Roger Waters. I don't know if you were talking about that or not, but Syd Barrett, I got the Syd Barrett collection, and Third Man really did a beautiful job. Amazing sound quality, amazing box, amazing packaging. Hi, if you don't have the Syd Barrett records on vinyl and you want them, buy the Third Man version. One of the best box sets of the year. And that actually has two rare David Gilmour tracks on it too, which is kind of cool. David Gilmour produced the first and maybe the second Syd Barrett record. Along those lines, Ricky, are you a Pink Floyd guy? I forget.
I'm not.
Well, I love Pink Floyd. Ricky, you should look into Pink Floyd. I got the original. Have you listened to early Pink Floyd, Ricky?
I really have not delved into their stuff at all. I'm not anti Pink Floyd. I just don't know.
Well, I mean, of course, there's their massive, massive radio albums, Dark Side of the Moon,
You're
The
right,
Wall,
yeah.
amazing albums. But also, I've been getting the early Pink Floyd, and really, the first two Pink Floyd albums are really more Syd Barrett albums, especially the first one, than the rest. So you could sort of make an argument that it's like a different band because Syd Barrett is like the main guy on the first one and kind of the second, and then after him, it's someone else. So maybe you could like compare it to the Damned. Like there certainly was a huge change in the Damned after Brian James left, and Brian James founded the Damned. So Ricky, you might want to check out the first two Pink Floyd albums, especially the first one, "Piper at the Gates of Dawn," the first one, second, "A Saucer Full of Secrets." Very aggressive, weird, hard space rock, if you will. And I finally got a, and I don't, I mean, you, pretty much any record, not any record, but most records, if you just want to drop a whole bunch of money online, you can. That's kind of not fun. It kind of, but sometimes when you get a real good deal in the wild, that's a lot of fun. So I got a really good deal for Original Press, Pink Floyd, UK, Piper at the Gates of Dawn, and it sounds amazing and it's real cool. Two other quick things I'm going to mention real quick. Another interesting thing, Ricky, I got the second copy I have of the Smiths 12-inch EP, What Difference Does It Make? And Ricky, do you know why I specifically want two copies of this 12-inch EP?
Why?
Because the original copy had, actually, I'm gonna look it up real quick. The original copy, as you know, the Smiths are famous for their iconography and their look and how like all their albums have a cohesive image to it because Morrissey selected all the images and that kind of thing. So they all have kind of this similar like Golden Age of Hollywood magazine look. And so I so anyway, so what difference does it make? I'm actually pulling up right now. Vamping here. Give me one second. Here it is. The original version had a still on it from the movie. Let's see here. Oh, here we go. a photograph of Terrence Stamp taken from the film The Collector. However, after they put it out, someone realized they never got the rights from it, and they got a nasty letter from whoever owned the rights to that movie or that image. Oh, Stamp, Terrence Stamp himself. So on the second version of on the second pressing of the 12-inch EP, Ricky, they had Morrissey pose in the exact same pose with the exact same color scheme and everything, to the point where you really have to, like, it's amazing how almost identical they are. They look almost identically the same, and you really got to look at them to see one is Terrence Stamp and one is Morrissey. So now I have both versions, Ricky, the band cover and the Morrissey cover. And of course, the last thing that I'm going to mention, Ricky, is the new Dwarves album, Dwarves Are Young and Good. No, I'm sorry. Dwarves concept album, which is a fantastic Dwarves album, kind of similar to Dwarves Must Die, and that's all over the place.
It
This one is
really
it,
is, yeah.
it, this one is a much brighter sounding record. It's a happy record than any other Dwarves record. And so there's three versions. There's a standard cover, which has got an amazing, very, very Renaissance era type picture. And there's two special editions. One is a parody of Sgt. Pepper, and the other is a total board game, a complete board game with like 50 pieces, called Who Killed He Who, and you have to figure out who killed He Who in Philadelphia in 1996, I think it was. Of course, referencing the famous dwarf scandal from the mid 90s, where they falsely claimed that He Who had been killed, when he had not. And so, of course, Ricky, do you know who did those two deluxe covers?
Our very own John Gentile.
That's right, I did, and I was so thrilled, and honestly, it came out looking super rad. So
Very
the
cool.
Dwarf Dwarf album is rad. I'm gonna play Dwarf's track, and we'll be right back. This is something from the new album, and we'll be right back.
Let me do my thing. Why you always trying to be crushing on my dream? This is the way I roll. Creator of wealth and destroyer of souls. Why you all up in my mug? Gonna be a different story when you're cupping up blood. Stay in your lane. I'm these fucking hypocrites are driving me insane.
We're back. I don't know if you want to go through a couple other records you got, and then we'll wrap this on up.
Sure,
And
I just.
actually, we'll also talk about, are you looking forward to anything coming out? Any shows? What are you looking forward to in 2024?
Sure. So, first of all, I just want to add to the Dwarfs thing. I got one of the 85 Coronado versions. So,
Oh, with the board game?
yeah.
How did the board game come wrapped around the record, Ricky, or did they put it behind it? Because it's supposed to be wrapped around it, but I think it wasn't mailed that way.
It was not mailed that way. The only, and I listen, I love it. The only flaw, and I'm trying to, I try and keep things pristine. The only flaw is that part of the board, one thing of the board game sticks out of a record sleeve. It's bigger than 12 inches. And so I have to put, I so it's set aside, but otherwise I love it.
So when you got the board, I'm just for my identification. So was the board game like behind the record in the sleeve, or where was that?
I think it may have, was it inside the sleeve?
Or did
I
it
don't
like just
wear.
come like or did you just get like a box, and there was the record and the board games next to it?
It was in a regular mailer. And I think everything was either inside or behind it. 'Cause I know they opened it for Blagg to sign the back of the
Yeah.
record. But other than that, I think everything was just kind of like the record and the cover were on top of everything else. I
See,
think
because
that's how it was.
I'm annoyed on Discogs, because in Discogs, whoever uploaded the image didn't include the board game, and the board game is part of the record itself. It's like not an extra, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to
I
go
don't
correct
know.
that myself.
So yeah, in terms of other stuff that I got, let me see here. So The Suicide Machines, Imagine Some Gasoline, Side One Dummy repressed it. Finally, they still need to do the other album. They had a few variants all over the place. I got the red with black splatter that was limited to 250 copies. I love that album. I love the Suicide Machines so much. I'll do, you know, I'll get a little spicy and I'll do a 7-inch. How about that? I got another sort of mid-range grail. I got the Lawrence Arms Porno and Snuff Films purple 7-inch. That was one of the Fat Records Club 7-inches from back in the day, which is really good. I mean, that was one I've been eyeing for a long time, just waiting to kind of pounce on. And man, you know, some of these pre-orders are rough, and I missed out on the American first pressing of the Gel Only Constant album because the pre-order went up at midnight apparently, or like 1 a.m. and so I just totally missed it. But luckily there was the same count of the red version from the UK that I managed to snag. So I have a red first pressing of that here in California now. I don't know, can I do like one or two more, John?
Yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
So, and then also I've had the yellow version of this, but this had like a lower count, and I just jumped on it. The price was too good. The Star Fucking Hipsters, Jesus Fucking Christ, the fucking split 7-inch. I found the lower. I think it's only limited to 100 copies. Yeah, 100 copies, on clear vinyl. I've been eyeing this for a while too. I snagged it for like 15, 20 bucks or something like that.
That's a deal, Ricky. I mean, that record goes for like $100. That's a deal, man.
So I'm very happy with that. And then I'll mention this just because you and I got it. And I think you and I kind of both know that like it's a bit ridiculous, but we're both very glad we got it. And tell me if I'm wrong though. The Glenn Danzig Who Killed Marilyn 12-inch
Oh,
picture disc.
Here's $30 for two songs everyone already has, and oh well, here you go, asshole.
Speak for yourself. I didn't have it, so I needed the songs, and I got the 12-inch for $30. That's right, John.
Well, I bought the picture disc, and then which I hate, and then they immediately released a non-picture disc version. I'm like, wow, thanks a
They
lot,
did?
Cleopatra. Yes.
What cut was it, color or just black?
Well, you know, I mean, you. With Cleopatra, I don't know. Some people like it, some people don't. Ricky, there's only like seven different variants. What Cleopatra does is they'll say, here's exactly what Cleopatra does. They'll say, here's the new Glenn Danzig record, whatever. There's 300 on white and 300 on purple, and then everyone buys them in 2 seconds. Then a week later, they're like, now there's 300 on splatter white and purple, and 300 on Starburst purple and white, and the people buy them. Then they'll be like, here's the Glenn Danzig record. There's 300 on clear and 300 on red. And they just do limited color pressings like over and over and over and over
Oh,
and over.
all
So I
right.
was so annoyed at Cleopatra that I hate picture discs. And I bought the picture disc and they immediately released like non-picture disc versions, which annoyed me. So
So now, in terms of stuff I'm looking forward to next year, obviously,
let me interrupt you though, Ricky. And we've had this discussion before, but A, despite my complaining, it is really cool that Danzig's finally re-releasing a bunch of this super hard to find. You know, I mean, the original single is like $6,000 for Who Killed Marilyn or something, or maybe $1,000. So it's cool that you can get it now for a reasonable price. The question is, will they keep re-releasing? Ooh, actually, Cleopatra is putting out a vinyl version of a very rare KRS-One record. That's kind of cool. You know,
I'm
Cleopatra is
actually.
so frustrating, Ricky, in that they put out so much garbage, but then they put out something that's kind of cool too. You know what I mean? So,
I keep an eye on them. I'm actually kind of, that's another guy, another artist I thought would totally have a box set by now is Danzig.
well, yeah, I mean, Danzig is so puzzling, and we've talked about that, so what's going on? But he's so puzzling, and you can say, oh, he's only about money. That's why he's doing Misfit shows. But then he won't repress all these records, any of which would get him a ton of money and make lots of money and sell out immediately. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So who knows, Ricky? Who knows?
Yeah. So in terms of new stuff that I'm looking forward to, let's see. So obviously the Mean Jeans album, that's gonna be very cool. Very interested in the new Laura Jane Grace album, Hole in My Head. The Chisel, which I just pre-ordered, the Rev HQ splatter, yellow splatter version. I'm very excited. I love that band. I got really into them really quickly. Their 7-inch with Mess actually was my favorite of last was my favorite EP of last year. It's just fantastic. This might make people these next two might make people these are kind of some spicy takes. I agree. I'm actually really looking forward to the Sum 41 Heaven and Hell double album. I think that single was really, really good, and they were a pop punk introduction band for me. I really have a lot of I have a soft spot for those first, especially the first three of their albums. The last stuff I can't really defend all the time, but that's gonna be I think that's gonna be really cool. And then I gotta tell you, I was shocked. Absolutely shocked because I haven't been stoked for a new album from this band for literally 20 years now. But I am very excited for Saviors by Green Day. And because I think they're back with Rob Cavallo in the studio. And the new single sounded really good. So I got the clear, pink, the translucent pink variant through 1234, the exclusive variant from 1234. Go Records that was limited to like 1,000. So I'm really excited about that. That's basically the gist of it for next year's stuff. I don't know if I'm missing anything, but those like five I'm definitely interested in. So yeah. How about you, John? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm definitely looking for the new Mean Jeans. That initial single was pretty rad. I'm trying to think what else I'm looking forward to, Ricky. I mean, the past 6 months have been such a blur. I can't even think off the top of my head is what I'm looking forward to aside from Mean Jeans. Well, Rob Halford is re-releasing a couple of his solo records, which are re-releases, but I'm psyched for that. The Minor Threat Out of Step reissue was kind of cool. Out of Step Outtakes was pretty cool.
Yeah, I got that too. It's very cool.
And other than that, Ricky, man, I gotta say, I can't off the top of my head, I can't think of anything else that I'm looking. I'm sure there's stuff out there, but anymore, so
Oh.
many records come out, it's like it's getting kind of crazy in a good way. What I think, but anymore, like so many records come out anymore, like so many, you know.
An interesting one. I mean, they haven't announced anything really, but I know that there was a story on Punk News that the Circle Jerks are in the studio.
Oh, I have some inside info on that, Ricky.
Oh, okay.
So.
Am I wrong?
No, you're correct, but I have inside info that I can't speak about publicly. However,
Okay.
here's something I'm looking forward to, Ricky. The Bad Time Records, this is Newtone, just kind of a cool thing in that they're kind of paying tribute to the Dance Craze album that had Specials, Madness, Selector, Bad Manners, and a couple other acts. So they're doing kind of their own new version, which has got a bunch of live Catbite tracks and Jay Navarro, Ricky's dude, some Joystick, and some Bad Operation, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So that's actually I'm looking forward to that for sure.
Oh,
And the other,
you bought the comp?
I did even though it was $40, man. I mean, little high, $40, but I want it, you know. Ricky, actually, let's talk about this, then we'll wrap it on up, and you can play a song. You know,
Oh, you want me to play a
about
song, or do you want to play a song?
you can play one.
Okay.
About unless you don't have one to play, then I'll play
No,
one.
I do.
But
I do.
about 7 years ago, I would say the price of records shot up from 20 to 25, kind of reasonable, you know. But now after COVID, the price of records is 30 or even 35, and recently people have been pushing them up to like 40. Ricky, do you think that's gouging, or is that just what the cost these days? And will that affect your record purchasing decisions if a new record is $35 or $40? I mean, 25, all right, man. But then you hit with shipping too. Seven, you know. And the other cool thing a lot of labels are doing is, oh, it's a $32 record. Oh, and we're gonna charge you $9 for shipping or something. It's like, can you do a medium mail and hit me with the four? But no, we have to do that, you know.
I'll add something on top of all of that. I'm
What's that?
noticing a big lack of download codes too,
Well,
included.
the reason for that is because statistically showing less than 10% of people ever actually download them, so why pay for them? I mean, I
Right.
like
So
them, but almost nobody uses them.
right. So I like it. I'm still very anti Spotify, but and I'll get to your question. That's why I do my best to buy the records through Bandcamp. That way, at least it's included. And because at that point, like, I can name a record I'm not going to, I bought it for, you know, it was more than what we were talking about. The variant was more than we were talking about. But there was no download code. There was no free download for the MP3s. So I ended up spending another extra $10 on that record because I wanted the MP3s as well because I bought it.
Was it that Laura Jane Grace record that was like $50 after shipping?
No.
What record was it, Ricky? Name names, Ricky.
I don't want to. All right, well.
What are you going to get, excommunicated from punk rock?
Yeah, well, if I say it, well, okay, fine. It was the Dwarves album.
Oh, man. I wish you hadn't said that.
Yeah, you kept asking. And I'm not, listen, I'm happy to support the Dwarves. Blag is awesome. I've met him a couple times, but like it's just like, dude, I have to.
That was hilarious.
I know. I kept saying no. So, I mean, I don't mind it, but it's just like it gets agitating. And there are other labels I could say too that do this.
But Ricky, you don't have to spend $10 on it. It's only $5 on Bandcamp.
I mean, $5. What are, you know, you get what I'm saying. I had to spend an extra $5 on the record, or it's an extra $10 on a record. So, and then also, I mean, there are other labels where like they show all the taxes that come in, and it ends up being an extra few bucks too. So you end up hitting $40 on a brand new record.
Brutal.
So, and then media mail itself, and I'll get to the records themselves too. Media mail's easily gone up a buck or two. It used to be $5 solid. It used to be $5, no problem. In terms of records, yeah, they've gone up. I don't spend on a new record. It's not that. It's kind of rare I ever hit 40, unless it's something special. But I mean, it's easily, it'll hit 35 easy after shipping and taxes. Because I mean, at least out here in California, you're paying basically 10% sales tax.
So I mean, do you feel 35 is fair, or should we, the consumers, fight back against that? You know,
it's not fair, but at the same time, it's not all their fault. That's the thing. It's everything else. Those extra fees, the shipping, it adds, you know, almost what, another 10 to 30% on your record.
30% sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't hate that. I mean, at the same time, it's like, I'm glad I'm getting this record because I would never be able to get this variant at a record store. But it's, something's got to give. I think at least the turnaround times have gotten better since, compared to like 2 years ago.
Oh yeah, way better. Like 5 months now, as opposed to like a year and a half.
Yeah, and also the other thing is, this is kind of a magnified issue, and back to Third Man Records, you know, Jack White was, who I don't really like his music. I don't like, you know, I don't do anything with Third Man Records really. But I pay attention to them because they're at the forefront of this kind of stuff, doing weird stuff, doing creative stuff with their records. But they also have like their own like fairly modern pressing plant. And when he said like, yeah, it's time for the labels to start opening up their own plants, he's like, it's like, yeah, you should be doing that because everything is going up artificially because there's so much demand. And you know, why does Taylor Swift need like 15 variants for her Folklore album?
Because people are buying them, Ricky. And I gotta say, man, I don't think you can get down on Taylor Swift about that. Taylor Swift is one of the people that literally saved the vinyl industry, because when records got popular, she's pressing, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of records, and people are buying them. And now all the kids are into vinyl, which is great. Right. Without Taylor Swift, they'd just be a bunch of miserable old men.
Right. I'm not. But at the same time, no one's opening up new plants, so everything is getting more expensive, and the turnaround times are still artificially slow. So I think that's also a problem, is that there's just an artificial like squeeze on the market because no one's opening up a new plant, and these current plants can only do so much at a time because it's a manual and analog process to make this stuff. So you open up another two plants, and we'd probably be doing fine.
Ricky, what do you think Jack White charged for? I mean, Jack White personally, for this beautiful Syd Barrett 3 LP 1/7-inch box set with including the box.
75.
Yeah, pretty reasonable. How'd you know?
I guess, another guess.
Oh, that's
another
pretty guess. For three records, a box set, and a 7-inch. I'm saying that's pretty reasonable, and a patch.
That's not bad.
That's pretty reasonable.
I'm doing much better guessing at your questions today than I did on the 650th episode.
I think we're going to have to make easier questions next time because they're always easy to me, but that's because I know them, you know? So,
yeah.
Also, I think we're going to play, Pyramid, which that was a lot of fun, Pyramid, you know?
Yeah, I just need to work the mute button better. That's all.
All right, fair enough. Ricky, anything else you want the listeners to know about? Oh, first of all, Ricky, always a pleasure to have you on. This hour and 10 minutes blasted by and felt
It
like about
really
10 minutes.
did. Wow.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ricky.
You can follow me on Instagram at DesertVerse92. Come talk shit with us on Navel Gazing every week. That's always a blast. I always look forward to that every week. And be nice in the comments on the other stuff and the Punk News articles. I was on the staff for 5 years, and I know what these guys are doing right now. So be nice, guys. They're doing their best.
I actually think the commenters aren't as bad as they were like 2 years ago. You know,
it ebbs and it ebbs and flows. No, it's always a pleasure to be on, and I really appreciate you inviting me every 6 months. So let's just keep getting let's just keep doing this, John. It's always a blast.
All right, Ricky, what song should we send them on out with?
Ooh, okay. So there's a band that I actually, speaking of Navel Gazing, found through Navel Gazing, and there's a band called Beerwolf out of Australia, and they just released an album on December 1st that is called Common Grief, and goddamn, what an album. I'm waiting for my my yellow pressing to come. This is an album I bought from Australia. I'm waiting for that to come in the mail. So here's the song right off the first track off the album, Common Grief by Beerwolf. The track's called Grief Taurus. Here it is.
And this is Grief Taurus by Beerwolf. Ricky, always a pleasure to have you on. We'll do it again sometime soon.
Thanks.
So here's Beerwolf.